In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with letter number 18, Messina. It's 324-27. And this is on page 123. You're going to hear about this intimacy, the spiritual intimacy of St. Honorable de Francia, who Pope St. John Paul II is the one that humanity should pray to for vocations. And nothing of this is by chance, because Jesus tells Luisa that I give you this gift, Luisa, so that you would give it to the man, the Pope. The priests. The priests are the one who are going to teach this to the world, because he says the divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. So even if John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, did not read that, he's still fulfilling what Jesus told Luisa, that the priests and the first priest who basically really entered into this, who wanted these published, is St. Honorable de Francia. So here, say, he begins, most esteemed one in the Lord. So here, this is how he talks to Luisa. You are the most esteemed person that I know. I mean, here is a saint talking to the one that the bishop told him, you're the one that's in charge of this person, Luisa Picaretta, and her writings. And he says, you're the most esteemed one. It gives us a clue of this great saint, St. Honorable de Francia, who was close friends with Pope St. Pius X. Luisa got permission to have Holy Mass said in her room, her private room, by Pope Leo XIII, and it was continued by Pope St. Pius X. He starts, I no longer review proofs of the first printing. So here he has gone through everything, making sure everything is exact. Well, he says, I can't do this anymore, but my people do. And the preface, he goes, alas, I no longer have the mind to be able to dictate it. So here he's dying. And this is the third month. He dies in June. He's got a few more months of suffering to go through. And he says, I can't dictate this anymore. He's now dictating this letter to the sister who's writing it for him, that's going to be sent to Luisa. But he can't see the writings of Luisa are so sublime that he wanted them perfect. He wanted to make sure that everything that he said was accurate. He says, the mysteries of God, in which I find myself enwrapped without seeing the light. So here he says, I know what the divine will is. He says, you know, volume 1 through volume 19, he knew it very, very well. Not only to become a divine mirror of Jesus, which he did all his life, trying to become a saint by doing the will of God, but now with reading volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, these mysteries of God, he says, I'm enwrapped without, I can't see the light. I can't explain these divine mysteries that Jesus has given to you. He says, yet, if I am unable to dictate it, the preface will come out so simple and effective as to impress even the highest personalities of the Holy Church, including the highest pontiff, the Pope himself. So he says, I'm having trouble to give these divine mysteries out, putting it down on paper. He says, yet, he says, I know, I am sure. He says, if God gives me the grace to dictate it, the preface will come out so simple and so effective as to impress even the Pope himself. So what we see is he knows that this book of heaven that Luisa has been given by Jesus himself, these mysteries that Jesus is revealing to Luisa and as Jesus said, to no other saint, I've given this to no saint until now, I've given it to you so it can go out to the world. He says, but I won't tell you how I feel the demon rage. So here, He's again, the last struggles that come to humanity as people are dying is the demonic. And this is why it's important to wear the scapular and to encourage people to wear the scapular, especially if they're taking their last breath, because the promise of Our Lady is, you know, if you wear the scapular, you won't suffer the eternal flames of hell. You might have to go through purgatory for a while, but you won't have to endure the flames of hell. And this is a promise that Our Lady gives. And how many people today believe that, you know, that promise of Our Lady? How many wear the scapular every day? How many make that part of their clothing? As Our Lady says, this is the clothing of heaven. And what Jesus keeps on telling Louisa is he's going to clothe his children in divine nobility. So how many are wearing the scapular? How many, when you hear of a friend or a family member or a relative dying, that you bring the scapular to them? Again, it's not magic. It's Our Lady's promise. And again, it's not much. What does Our Lady ask? She asks for to wear the scapular, pray the rosary, and to attend First Saturday Masses. That's not what she asks. And the rewards are so great, you know. And what happens is when we listen to Our Lady in these messages that she gives to her chosen, it helps us. It's like the frosting on the cake. It helps us become aware of our Lord and Our Lady's love for us, for humanity. So now he's talking about the demon. I won't tell you how I feel the demonic rage, or rather many demons. This is why I often make exorcisms against Satan in the name of Jesus. Now, I have over there on the shelf a book from Father Rippinger, the exorcism, not the full exorcisms, but the that a bishop gives to a priest to do, but the laity can pray. See, we're at war. We are at war. And the medicine, Jesus says, the way to win this war at this point is through the sacraments and sacramentals. Everybody should have exercised holy water. Everybody should have exercised salt, exercised oil. You should have the blessed relic or medal of Saint Benedict, the medal of Saint Michael, who defeats the dragon on April 23rd, the Louisa's birthday, the Saint George, who also defeats the dragon, the demon. And we're at war, and the sacraments and sacramentals help us so much. This one person I know was telling me that a person came to her suicide. She was suicidal, the person that came to the and wanted to talk. And when the person got up to go to the bathroom, my friend said she put a couple of grains of exercise salt in her coffee, you know, in the coffee. And when the person came back and drank the coffee, they said, I feel so much better. And you could see and pray, Lord Jesus, please help this person, you know, with this exercise salt. You know, it's the prayers of Father Rippinger's book is very, very important, especially for today. If the people began to use the sacraments and sacramentals, the exercise salt, the exercise water, the exercise oil, and other exercise things, the demons back off. You have to know we are at war. The demonic wants to destroy the children of God, wants to destroy all of humanity. And we're in this battle. God has chosen, predestined us to live at this time. He's given us the book of heaven to get through what we're going to go through. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be afraid of. The demons are dead. The demons are rotting. The demons are terrified. And so when they appear, they're filled with vile smells and cold death and screams. And they want us to be afraid. Fear is what they live off of. And our response is no. Our response is, I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. And what happens is, like you see right here, he says, this is why I offer to make exorcism against Satan in the name of Jesus. And with this book of Father Rippinger, you'll be really surprised how to really make a good confession, to go through your life especially at the end of the book, you know, there's pages of words. And we have been poisoned, if you want to say, by words around us. Let's just talk about the words. And, you know, it could be your teachers in grammar school, your teachers in high school. It could be your professors in college. It could be your neighbor. It could be your Boy Scout leader, Girl Scout leader. When you went to work, there's the curses that are out there. See, there's curses and there's blessings. So here we're seeing about the curses. This is why I often make exorcisms against Satan in the name of Jesus. Now, this isn't an official exorcism. It's, you know, in the name of Jesus, I bless yourself with holy water at night. Bless yourself with, you know, sprinkle holy water around, exercise holy water. See, there's exercise holy water and there's holy water. See, the rule for blessing holy water is, may this water be blessed and all who use it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That's blessed water, blessed holy water. Exercise water, you go through the whole, the prayer, and, you know, there's like 16 blessings, and it's powerful. St. Teresa, I think she's the one that said, if exorcism was used, the demons, I mean, if it was constantly used, the demons would have to just back away. So here, I tell you in the highest secrecy about these exorcism, he says, in order to destroy me, the devil took the form of a person that we know in order to bring me shocking news. So here, see, the devil can appear as an angel of light. The devil always uses the things that are of God and twists them. The flames of hell always mimic the light of heaven. So when you see like the triangle with the eye in it, that's a Catholic symbol, yet people have taken it over to make it demonic. You know, I think the double cross of the cardinal is used by some companies to show that now they've taken over this double cross to make it demonic. We have to understand that not everything that we see is what it really looks like. I mean, this is what he's saying. He says, I tell you in highest secrecy, in order to destroy me, the devil took the form of a person that we know in order to bring me shocking news, because of which I was taken by the palpitation of his heart that was about to kill me. So here he is getting to the point of death, but then I discovered the deception. See, it's always to turn to the Lord with total trust and confidence. He says, and again, this is good. Here is a great saint, St. Honorable de Francia, who the Lord chose as the one to publish the writings of Louisa. And any writings that we have even today, we have to thank St. Honorable de Francia, because this is his job. His job. He says, the enemy suggests to me, don't you see that this publication is leading you to the tomb? Why did you get involved in it? The evil one made, here he's dying and he knows he's dying and he's been given a command by Jesus to publish the writings and he can't do it. He says, you know, don't you see that these publications are leading you to death? Why do you get involved? And then what does he do? As soon as he tells her about the demonic, you know, in his life that he says, keep to yourself, he says, I sent you a beautiful picture of the heart of Jesus, which keeps in custody the archives of his, listen to this, this is the book of heaven, of his divine revelations about his divine will. So he says, look at this beautiful heart of Jesus that keeps in custody of the archives of the book of heaven. So here we see that this sacred heart of Jesus is the custodian, if you want to say, of the divine will. Hit the divine revelations given to Louisa about the divine will. See, at the end of his life, St. Honorable de Francia, he said, all I want now is to live this life. He says, what we read last week, I'm not focused on my communities anymore, because what is the most important thing to me, he says, are these divine revelations of the divine will that Jesus has given. And he says, if I told you how it happened, see, how did this happen that the Sacred Heart is in charge of the divine revelations. You would say that the archives was made by Jesus. So here he says it was a miraculous thing that happened that basically he didn't do. If I told you how the archives were made, you would said it was being made by Jesus. Now, what's really interesting, a lot of people love the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Like when you meet Cardinal Burke, his whole focus is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We see that the Lord is going to use this Sacred Heart of Jesus that we all know and all love, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which we all know and all love, to be present to the world the divine revelations of the divine will. And the protector, the guardian, is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Jesus says, when I talk about myself, I'm always talking about my mother as well. So it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He says, I let you know in advance that the preface, you will not be mentioned, nor involved, be tranquil. So Louisa didn't want to be known. Louisa said, don't put my name down on anything. And Father Bucci would always say to us, if you want to live in the divine, will be little, insignificant, and hidden. You're not. It's not to be known. It's to be, Jesus has to be known. Our Lady has to be known through the little newborn Louisa. So he says to Louisa, I'm going to let you know in advance that the preface, you're not going to be mentioned, nor involved. So be tranquil, be peaceful. And that this gave peace to Louisa, because Louisa, all her life, would say to Jesus, I am nobody, I am nothing. And Jesus would say to Louisa, that's why I want to use you. I can make miracles. I can make wonders. I can make anything out of nothing. I return to that offer you made of sharing my night pains with me. So here she's saying to Louisa, these night pains are awful. These are horrible. And you offered to share my night pains with you. And then he says, but I don't know what to tell you. I would not want them, these pains that Louisa, that the Honorable LaFrancia is going through, to weigh on you, upon your troubles. So he knows that you can share in suffering. If you've ever prayed a prayer to Jesus of someone suffering, and you say to the Lord, let me take on their suffering, he lets you take on the suffering. He really does. And I remember once when my brother was in wrestling, and he ruptured his spleen, and he was in the hospital, and he was away far away from us, the family, in another state. And I said to the Lord, Lord, let me share in my brother's pains. Give me my brother's pains right now so that he must be really suffering. I said, I want to help him. I was doubled up and I was on the floor going, I said, give them back to him. It was so painful. And I always remembered, I said, man, I couldn't even do it for a second. It was so much pain. But see, this is what he knows. The Saint Honorable de Francia knew, and Louisa knew. She used to take out the reason she loved to suffer for Jesus was Jesus could come down from the cross. And he says, rather try to obtain a few tranquil nights from your highest good, Jesus, for me, if this is in his divine will. So what he said was basically try to obtain a few tranquil nights for me, basically, so that if this is God's will, and because a lot of suffering was going on at that point, you know, with him. He says, and also help your prayers, the help of your prayers. For the rest, always thank the divine love and the heart of Jesus. And that's also the Immaculate Heart of Mary that makes me worthy of suffering and gives me many helps. So he now understands, well, he knew it before, but he knows that suffering is a blessing. Suffering is, you have to be worthy to suffer. This is why victim souls are so important to Jesus, because they are found worthy. I remember I was talking to someone once and they said, I don't want to go through what Louisa went through. I said, you're not going to go through what Louisa went through. And they said, how do you know? I said, because you're not worthy. We're nobody of us. None of us is worthy of it. This is the ultimate gift, to be with Christ crucified. That's the Saint Francis, when he received the stigmata, he suffered. He died at 33. He died. They examined his bones and he basically starved to death. He called his body brother ass or brother donkey, I should say. And he said, if I had known that this would have harmed you so much, I wouldn't have been so tough on you. So he disciplined himself. And that's what the cross is. It's discipline. It's a state of suffering that worthy people are allowed to go through. And that's why most of us will probably suffer at the end of our life, because God is speeding up the process of getting to heaven. And as Jesus told Louisa, suffering is the stagecoach to heaven. The faster you're bumping around in the stagecoach over a bumpy, you know, road, the sooner you're going to get there. So it's suffering is part of our life, because it was his life. It was Our Lady's life. It was Louisa's life. In this new era, we're going to see that everything that we went through in suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, everything that we've gone through was necessary. And we're going to thank God for all eternity for everything that we've gone through spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, because it brings us to heaven. It really does. And so you see that in Saint Honorable de France. He says, Louisa, you say you'll help me when I'm suffering. I don't know if I could do that to you. He says, but pray that I can have a few tranquil nights. He says, the rest, let's thank the divine love of the heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to make me worthy of suffering and give me many helps. So, and then he says, when this state will end, so that I may continue with new vigor. So he's going, I got to get through this suffering so I can have more strength for the publications, because of which hell trembles so much. Now think about this. When we you know, started, we had mimeograph sheets. We didn't have all the publications. We didn't have all the publications because it wasn't time for that. Okay. So what God has done for us is he's given us this new and divine way of holiness that he's asking of us to begin to enter into. And that's something it's great. It's so amazing. Hell trembles now because the publications of Louisa, the writings of Louisa, are worldwide. Now, they're not the official writings, and we have to understand that. But when you listen to the Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen to Archbishop Carey, what he says, even the writings that are not the best, he says, people's hearts are changing, their minds are changing, their lives are changing for the better. So I can't wait to see the official translations. I remember at the conclusion of the cause in 2005, October 29th, 2005, or was it 2004? I think it was 2004. The cardinal said to Archbishop Carey, these writings of Louisa must be published in all languages. That's not the Vatican's responsibility. That's Corrado's responsibility. And that's why it's taking a little longer, because I've heard the English translations and they're really good. When you listen to the Dawn of a Mystery, you hear Jesus and Louisa talking back and forth, and it's so beautiful. I mean, you enter into this life that Louisa had with Jesus, and it becomes our life as well. So he says, hell trembles because of the Book of Heaven. Jesus says, when the Book of Heaven comes out, he says, the face of the earth is going to be transformed. What do you think has been happening over these past few years? And now, as the Book of Heaven gets more and more published in all languages, everything seems to be falling apart. Why? Hell is trembling so much. He says, I know nothing. I see nothing. He says, humanly speaking, I see nothing. I know nothing. It seems to me that it will not end, but our Lord in one instant can extend his divine will and omnipotent hand, as he did with St. Peter at the moment in which I am about to drown. And he says to me, man of little faith, why did you doubt? If you can get the picture of St. Peter sinking and reaching out to Jesus, pleading with Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaching down, look at the face of Jesus. if you can see that painting sometime. His face is not panic. His face was almost like a discouragement. Like, why are you failing? Why did you falter? It's the same thing with us. God is going to win. Hell is going to be cast out. The devil's going to be gone. And with each and every one of us, this is what he says. Our Lord in one instant can extend his divine and omnipotent hand as he did with the Saint Peter at the moment in which we are about to drown and say to me, man of little faith, why did you doubt? Doubting says to Jesus, I can't believe you're so good. Doubting says to Jesus, I don't think you're going to do this. You know, and it's doubting hurts the Lord so much because look what he did. He shed every drop of his blood on the cross. He bled to death for us. And he wants us to know that he is going to take care of us no matter how bad it gets. And it's going to get bad. It's going to get tough, but God is going to win. This is our hope is in him. He says, I will not continue further. My head is not holding on too well, if you want to say. As far as the issues of the work, I have not done anything for quite some time. Everything weighs upon Canon Vitali and Father Palma and priests and sisters, and his priests and his sisters. Many things to your sister and to the ladies. I kiss the hand of Reverend Father Calvi, giving you 1,000 blessings. I say yours in Jesus, Father De Francia, M.A., most contemptible. So this is what we see. The spirituality of St. Honorable is espoused to that servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and that of Luisa and of St. Honorable De Francia reciprocally influencing each other profoundly. So there was this great respect because St. Honorable De Francia knew how Our Lady of La Salette spoke to Melanie because he was Melanie's basically spiritual director towards the end of her life. So he knew the language of heaven that Our Lady spoke to Melanie. But now he knew the language of Jesus, language of heaven. Jesus is speaking to Luisa. And what does he say? He says it very, very clearly. He says, his divine revelations about his divine will. That's the book of heaven. So he says, finally, we find ourselves in the presence of two holy souls, both of whom have discovered the instrument with which to respond and to live fully one's own personal vocation in the will of God, and who have given this instruction to us all, to all of us. So here our Lord is revealing to us how to live this life of the divine will, how we should esteem one another, how we should treat one another. Because like I've said before, you know, the divine will is so amazing. It's so beautiful that when the Lord speaks to you, no one else can hear what he's saying to you because it's to you. Even though Luisa wrote this down for everyone, the word of God, Jesus Christ, when he speaks, that word is a divine life. And that divine life speaks uniquely to each soul who reads. The more that you read, the more you begin to understand, the more that you focus on listening to Jesus speak to you and us responding when he speaks to Luisa. Like he said today in the calendar, he said something like, I can't remember, but he said, I want you to say yes to this. And Luisa goes, yes. And he's saying it to us too. When you read that, you say out loud as well, yes, Lord, I want this as well. I want this, which you gave to Luisa. I want to do this as well. And this is why we're hearing two holy souls who have discovered the way to live fully in the divine will. And that's Luisa and her spiritual director. And now it's given to us all as an instrument to help us begin to treat one another with that esteem. You're in the divine will. We really have to begin. This is why when we go to the retreat on August 15th, the little family of Luisa, what I've discovered at those conferences is everyone becomes a brother and sister of everyone else. It's we're family. This is the family of Louisa. The new Adam and the new Eve, the life that Louisa possesses is given to the little children of the Holy Divine Will. It's very, very powerful. And if you can make it, I would make that a priority. If you haven't been to Rome City, Indiana, you're missing something. As our lady said to Sister Mary Ephraim, there will be more miracles in the United States than at Lourdes and at Fatima, and basically, you know, together, if you want to say. So here is, when you go to Lourdes, all those faucets of water is there. When you go to Fatima, all those candles that are there. What's going to happen, it's going to be, God is going to do this in the United States, and already Bishop Rhodes has said, this is for us, for the United States. As you go there, as you drink the water, as you walk in the water, as you enter into this abundant life, it's really, really astonishing. It's so beautiful. So anyways, getting back to this, no one can express better than Louisa how great her esteem for St. Honorable de Francia was. Grieving because of his death, she wrote in volume 23, I felt sorrow for Venerable Father de Francia, who has made so many sacrifices and coming far away, meeting expenses for the publication. See, Jesus said these writings, he said this to Louisa often, these writings are going to change the face of the earth. And she says, Louisa goes, how's it going to happen? Jesus, I'll take care of everything. God's doing it. So this is great. In the same volume, she affirms that she heard Jesus say to her, therefore, your confessors who have passed into the next life shall be like the prelude of the children of my divine will, leading the way, leading this army of children of God, children living in the holy divine will, especially the third one, St. Honorable de Francia, who so much loved that these writings become known. And he sacrificed himself so much in writing. And so he went through all the writings, word by word, phrase by phrase. He prepared the ground. This is Jesus talking, basically through Louisa. He prepared the ground so that my divine will might be known, so much so that he spared nothing, neither expenses nor sacrifices. And even though the publication did not have its completion, even by just initiating it, St. Honorable de Francia prepared the ways so that one day the work of my divine will happen in the midst of creatures, can be known and have life. So it's begun. It's begun. And God has asked us to be part of this. You know, we're going to see the change in the face of the earth. We're going to experience the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. This is not about a saintly life, a good life, a holy life. It's about, Jesus says, saving the human generations, bringing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus tells Louisa very clearly, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil is, Jesus says, becoming aware that our human will has led us away from God, and God wants us to reign in his divine will so that our human will is no more part of leading us away from God anymore. That's the final part of the Our Father. So he says, who shall ever be able to destroy the fact that Father de Francia has been the first initiator in making known the kingdom of my divine will, and only because his life was extinguished, the publications did not have its completion. So when this great work becomes known, St. Honorable de Francia's name, Honorable de Francia's memory shall be full of glory and of splendor, and he shall have, this is the prime act in the work of so great, both in heaven and on earth. He's the main character, if you want, next to Louisa, of course. Today, we can affirm that these inspired expressions of eulogy were prophetic in reference to the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. But we must also consider that the judgments of St. Honorable regarding Louisa were no less enthusiastic. In the preface of the Hours of the Passion, he writes, this soul, solitary and most pure virgin, can you imagine? Say, Honorable de Francia had a great love for the Blessed Mother. And yet, this soul, Luisa Picaretta, solitary and most pure virgin, all of God, appears to be of a singular predilection of the divine Redeemer, Jesus. What saint was given a title like that? Saint Honorable de Francia gave that title to Luisa. This soul, this most pure virgin, all of God, a singular predilection of the divine Redeemer, Jesus. Now listen to this part. It seems that our Lord wanted this virgin, Luisa, whom he called the littlest found on earth, deprived of every instruction. She had a first grade education. To be the instrument, listen to this, of a mission so sublime that no other can be compared to it. All the missions of all the saints cannot be compared to what Jesus gave to Luisa. All that the saints have done cannot compare to what Jesus gave to Luisa. The triumph of the divine will on earth, that's the mission. In conformity with what is said in the Our Father, Fia voluntas tua sicut in cielo et in terra. May your kingdom come and reign in me, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. And later on, in the same preface, he affirms, in progress of these publications, one remains astonished at recognizing an extraordinary familiarity of our Lord with Luisa. Now, you have to remember, he was the spiritual director of Melanie, and he says, what is here? This is so amazing. He says, so that there is nothing to envy in St. Gertrude, nothing to envy in St. Madeline, or nothing to envy of St. Margaret or any other whatsoever. What he gave to Luisa, a sharing in divinity, basically, that drop of water that's put into the chalice every day at Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ, he gave to Luisa. These opinions expressed so emphatically by St. Anna Maria de Francia will be auspicious and prophetic regarding the cause of canonization of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and that she, whom he called teacher of the virtue, teacher of the divine will also have due recognition of the church soon, if this is the will of God. I see everything leads to what Jesus gave to Luisa. Everything. All the saints, everything points to this gift of the divine will. And as it says here very, very clearly, St. Honorable de Francia recognized her as the teacher of the virtue and of the divine will, that the church is going to recognize. Now, Father Bucci would say Luisa La Santa was going to be known as Luisa the Saint of the Divine Will. The Saint of the Divine Will. And it's true. When you get to know Luisa, read her 2,200 titles that Jesus gave her all throughout the Book of Heaven. He throws out another title. He's like, you're this. And then he goes, and you're this. And you're, I mean, it's beautiful. Luisa, St. Honorable de Francia, and the Capuchin friars of the monastic province of Puglia, the most of the Capuchin friars pictured in the group had direct contact with Luisa Picaretta and St. Honorable de Francia. I don't think we have that picture here. Oh yeah, there's on the next page. And then there, Father Bucci is part of that picture. Father Bucci, you know, was a member of the St. Padre Pio's group. And he knew Padre Pio, and he would tell us beautiful things about what Padre Pio was saying. And even the first Divine Will prayer group in the world was started by Padre Pio. So this is something that's so amazing. It seemed the Franciscan friars, in particular the Capuchins, suggested to St. Honorable that he place his works under the protection of St. Anthony of Padua. It is certain that there was a deep reciprocal esteem between St. Honorable de Francia and the Capuchins. And then here is Father Bucci's writing. I personally heard a lot about St. Honorable de Francia, Maria de Francia, from the older friars. St. Honorable published Luis's writings, and many of which were given to our friars, whom he warmly commended not to disclose the author's name to anyone, since the devoted writer wished to remain anonymous. Now, I've heard people say, well, we're not going to talk about Luisa. She didn't want to be known. That was then. This is now. Let everybody know Luisa. Let everybody know Luisa. It's just, you know, she was so humble. She was so little. Don't tell anybody my name, she said. I don't want to be mentioned. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. She was so beautiful. She was so wonderful. The Capuchin friar who had the most to say about this was Father Isaiah from that town, who was simply simple and humble, the figure of an authentic priest. This father had a deep veneration for Luisa Picaretta and jealously preserved her writings and a few objects that had belonged to the servant of God. Among these was a holy card and a picture on which a prayer had been written by Luisa in her own hand. When we were doing the, when we were copying the writings in all her volumes, every now and then in the volumes, and this was, I think, a mistake we made. We would take the relic cards out and, you know, present them to the Archbishop. I wish we had put the page number. Why was that card in that place? That was a big, big mistake. There was many, many cards in her volumes, many holy cards with her writings on the back. And I wish we had been more. We were just so excited of, oh, another holy card of Luisa, that we weren't thinking. It was just, that was a sad situation. I feel bad about that. But I would really have liked to have known why she had that relic card on in that page during whatever volume she was writing. Okay, so I think what we got, well, we'll end there and we'll continue this next week. And may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children of the holy divine will be healed, all their families, all their loved ones, all their friends and family. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Luisa. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.